Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive and are blessed to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned to blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest we're the higher inner frequency of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 616. Meditation equals Wellsprings for the Soul. Program presentation number 39. Blessed is our Creator, Baruch Hashem. Shalom, peace, and bracha upon the human family experience. Creator's Help, we're now broadcasting live on July 6th, 2016, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unified Soul Actualization. It's now 10:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number, if you want to listen in live, is 347-838-8669. Our focus will be extracting inspirations from Hillel Parrish's elucidations upon the Mitler Rebbe Shari Yuchud, the gate of unification. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peaceful and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Traditions from the Houses of Kings David and Solomon, and Children of Israel, and collaborating with the Children of Noah to end all forms of unnecessary hatred, jealousy, and competition which is not needed. Amen. Now that was a acapella version that we just presented at the beginning of today's program by the Maccabees, from their CD Destination, which you can download on iTunes. That was called Achenu, Our Brother. And of course, I'm playing a cappella music where the beautiful instrumentation that you listen to was the beautiful instrument of the human voice. These are young men who are graduating or perhaps still attending Yeshiva University here in New York City. And the reason why I still continue to play a cappella music, simply vocal instrumentation, is because I am still in a process of mourning for my dear father, who we're dedicating today's program towards, Reb Shlomo Yaakov, Olav Shalom, Ben Chuna David, my grandfather, his father, Goodman, who my father went on to the next level of life on April 17th, 2016, corresponding to the 9th of Nisan, 5,776 years from the emergence of the original stewards of this earth, Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava. So blessed souls, going further, we are extracting inspirations from the Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification, which is written by the Mitler Rebbe, and Likuti Borim, the first elucidation. There are two elucidations to this first chapter of the Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification, by the Mitler Rebbe. Likuti Borim is basically a gathering of elucidations by Rav Hillel, who is a noted devotee to Chabad Hasidus by virtue of his connecting originally with the first Chabad Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, and then deepening his connection to Chabad and Hasidus and his devotion to these teachings by connecting to the son of the Alter Rebbe, Rav Dov Ber, and then continuing his connection after the Histakos, the ascension to the next level of life of Rebbe Dov Ber, by connecting to his son-in-law, the Tzemach Tzedek. With that being said, blessed souls, we are within the wonderful active cognitive approach of Chabad Hasidus and how to meditate, which is one of the fundamental principles of the Torah, which you can learn more about by going to the Laws of the Foundations of the Torah, which is written in English by the Rambam in Chapter 2. And in the first law of Chapter 2, I believe. Excuse me if it's chaptered. I know it's in chapter 2. It's either the first halacha or the second halacha there. First law or second law. And he talks about, well, how do we approach, what is the means by which we can love and fear the Creator? Loving meaning to embrace viewpoints from the Torah perspective of how the Creator is the source of all goodness and extends that goodness into the creation. And fear of Creator meaning we do not wish to transgress that which is not in direct holy configuration to the Creator's plan for the creation. And this involves becoming very actively involved in what is known as, I saw a teaching recently by the Lubavitch Rebbe, this is called Hizbonu Sichlis, an intellectual, analytical approach to learning Torah, to understand that there are three dimensions within one's analytical approach. There is first the approach of getting basically the sense of the profundity of the teaching, to understand at whatever level we're you are holding it, or we are holding it, he or she is holding it, blessed souls, how profound the teaching is as an expression of godliness, which is transmitted in the form of human communication, namely by the spoken word, or the written word, or the recorded word. And then there's the idea of getting the understanding of what we hear, of what we read, of what we speak about ourselves. And then the third level is to get in, to internalize that which we can understand and even explain to others if we are so blessed to do so, and hopefully have the desire to do so, and how much we connect to our perception of the profundity of that Torah teaching. But part of that process, blessed souls, is becoming aware of the fact that this also means becoming aware of the ineffable name of the Creator, which is sometimes called the Shema Etzem, the essential name of Creator, Shema Forash, the explicit name of the Creator, Shema Miyuchad, the unique name of the Creator, which basically is composed of four letters, the Yud, which is then followed by the He, and then followed by the Vav, and then followed by the He. And even within that, those four Hebrew letters, there's a way of reconfiguring through mathematical computations according to oral Torah tradition, the numerical value of the basic spelling out of the Shema Etzem, Shema Yuchad, Shema Forash is 26. But when we spell it out phonetically using the Hebrew letters, of course, we get in mathematical values of 72, which is Av, Ayin Beis, or Sag, Samach Gimel. I just said four Hebrew letters there. If you know what I'm talking about, fine. If not, I hope you'll take me for my word that what I'm speaking to you is from the depths of my heart. This is what is, in terms of understanding the reassessing and the re-perceiving and re-perceiving and renewing our perception of the profundity which springs out of that ineffable four-letter name. And understand that is connected to a type of meditation and an empowerment. And that type of empowerment involves when we are connecting via our analysis of Torah, of the Torah concept, what we are doing is extracting out the understanding which is rooted in wisdom, the chokhmah that can be extracted out of the bina which can be extracted out of the chokhmah, or extracting out the wisdom, the profundity, out of that which we already have an understanding of. Chacham Babina. Now, as I fumble through the pages to get me to bring us back to where we left off last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, not 3 weeks ago, I think it was actually, we are now at the point where we are discussing, I think June 15th was the last time we did soul class. I don't remember the number. It was had six in the teens, I believe. In fact, if you'll allow me to indulge myself, I'll pick it up very quickly. Excuse me for forgetting the number. It was for sure. It was the 38th presentation in this series. Let me just pull out where we were holding. Let's see, Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. Because, of course, today's program is the 39th presentation of Wellsprings for the human soul. And let's just close that. Come on, this is part of the glitches of live radio. Again, this is not a 50,000 watt station. And let's just go to, because I want to reference you back to, if you want to get a little bit more grounding in this material, because for many people, I'm sure this is very, very new material. Actually, it was Soul Class number 614, Wellsprings for Human Soul, which is actually transmitted, on June 21st, 2016. So it was basically 2 weeks ago, right? And let's just shut that off for one moment, and then we're going to get back into our presentation. You know, this happens. It happens. Happened from other people I know that have given classes. Okay, we'll just turn that off. Okay, so when we're talking about this idea of connecting to our superconsciousness, we are also tapping into what is known as the Omaka Musag, the depth of one's comprehension. And therefore, we're able to extract out new perceptions within the light, meaning the energy, spiritual, soulful realm that can be found in any wisdom that is a wisdom according to Torah teachings. And at that point, we are empowered in a very, very deep fashion to understand a totally different subject matter. Now, what are we referring to? Let's say a person is very, very well versed in the realm of, say, mathematics. Let's say calculus or trigonometry. Now, the truth of the matter is, I am not well versed in trigonometry or algebra or calculus or any one of these more refined forms of mathematics. It takes a certain mindset. My specialty more is in social sciences and psyche and whatever. That's the way I am. But let's say someone is very well versed in, say, calculus and trigonometry, and they're reviewing their studies, and let's say they are an adjunct professor who's working, he or she is working on their PhD, and in the midst of their research in trigonometry and calculus, let's keep it at trigonometry and calculus, that they come up with an insight which actually could be applied to the realms of not just physics, basic physics, but quantum physics. Basically, the type of mindset that is developed by this very strong type of meditative cognitive experience is that one becomes very, very eclectic, but not in a wild, imaginative fashion, but in a very thoroughly thought-out, orderly fashion of connecting disparate ideas based on being extremely familiar with one subject matter. Because it's known for those who are masters of intellect that all of their first perceptions of a particular intellect are very, very poshut, meaning they're not compounded. It's a seminal perception of profundity. Or like, for instance, you have a conversation with someone and you're explaining, say, a concept in Torah. It could be in the Jewish law. It could be in the inner dimension aspects. It could be in the Talmudic section level. Or even the Chumash, the five books of Moses with the elucidations of Rashi. And you really, really are going deep into it. And you're explaining to someone. And they say, I see what you're saying. They can, that person who is listening to your elucidations upon, let's say the Chumash with Rashi, a basic verse in Rashi, talking about how the Creator made for original man and woman a divine image. And Rashi talks about that. And you bring in other explanations that comment on Rashi's elucidation on the significance of a man and woman or a human being being created with a divine image. And you bring in Rashi's explanation. And say you bring in one more explanation, say from like the Ramban, or something from, say, I know he was very prone to do it, the Lubavitch Rebbe would elucidate on verses like this. What is the instruction on the simple understanding? What is the ethical teaching, and how do we implement it in our daily lives? And you're really, really going deep into it, and that person says, I see what you're saying. And then you ask them, well, what do you see? The person says, well, I can see what you're saying is very deep and way beyond my previous, very, very novice approaches or experiences, just simply reading the verse, how Creator created man and woman, both with a divine image. Now, you've come to that point, and that person sees the point, and then they start to review that material, and they, from that point, become just as well versed in that material after, say, a month or 2 months or even a half year, maybe even a year. And they were so excited by the way you explained it to them that they came up with another level of, I see what, that my teacher had taught me. And again, that becomes something which then they start to unearth new ideas which they can compare and contrast with other sages of Israel's elucidations, the idea that Creator created a divine image for man and woman. And they can go deeper and deeper, and then they can look into more explanations, and then they can start to see patterns of elucidation between the different masters of the Torah of the ages of the Israelite sages. And somehow from there they can extrapolate out a teaching which would apply to, say, animal behavior, the human behavior or human potentiality, and animal potentiality and human and animal behavior are two distinct levels, as distinct as step one on your staircase to step two. Yes, they're both steps, part of the totality of the forest of your staircase. But they're two different levels, meaning one cannot ascend safely in most cases to get to the third step without stepping on the first step, and one cannot descend safely from the third step to the first step or onto the floor without that, again, that second step. So this whole idea of extracting out understanding within wisdom relates to clarify, as Rav Hillel wants us to clarify, or actually as the Mittler Rebbe wants us to clarify, basically what I've been talking about is the elucidations of recapitulating in a way that I hope is digestible for you blessed souls, the teachings of Rav Hillel. Now we're going back to a terse teaching by the terse continuation of this concept by the Mittler Rebbe, the Rebbe Dov Ber of Lubavitch, who wrote the Shaar Yichud, the Gate of Unification. So understanding which can be extracted out of wisdom is the idea of the Yichud, the unification, between these two different configurations of mathematical values of the ineffable four-letter name of Creator, Yud Kei Vav Kei, or Yud followed by the Hei followed by the Vav and followed by the Kei, which is basically we're talking about one presentation of the spelling of the reconfiguration of the divine name with a numerical value of 26 into the numerical value 63, which basically boils down to Yud, Vav, and Dalet, then followed by a Hey and a Yud, followed by then an Aval, a Vav, an Aleph and a Vav, and then concluding with a Hey and a Yud. As it is embedded and you can extract out from another reconfiguration of the numerical value of the divine ineffable name of Yud, followed by the Hey, followed by the Vav, followed by the Hey, which is the Shem Av, which is an Ayin base, the two Hebrew letters, which is basically Yud Vav Dalet, followed by the He and the Yud, followed by a Vav, and then a Yud and a Vav, and then the He and the Yud. So the difference in the mathematical values is when we phonetically spell out the Hebrew letter Vav, in the Sag name, Samach Gimel, there is an Aleph between each Vav. And the Av name, there is a Yud, and that's where there's a higher numerical value of 9 in Shem Av over Shem Sag. And this involves revealing a type of elucidation by the active meditator, teacher, master of intellect at his or her level, wherever they're holding, with the blessing of the Most High, that they can bring out many, 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 many different types of elucidations, much higher than the comprehension of their previously attained understanding. Now, this type of seminal, very high-level consciousness was unfortunate, to our great pain, discussed in a Talmudic tractate, I believe. I'm just turning to that tractate very quickly, if you bear with me. It's a pretty impromptu presentation today, so I guess the way I'm presenting it sounds like that, winging it, so to speak. That from the tractate in Eruvin, which is the oral Torah tradition of how to make an enclosure into a normally an open spaced area that would allow Jews who observe the Shabbos to carry. It's called Masechta Eruvin. In Daf Kaf Amud Beis, the 100th page, the second side, it says Nevonim Nishtachachu, ones of understanding were not found. Meaning, this was referring to the generation of Israelites in the desert for 40 years, who were led, of course, by the mighty Levite prophet Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses. So when a person gets to that level where they can extract out new understanding from that seminal, originally very simple, uncompounded perception, profundity of a Torah concept, they're called a novon. A person of understanding. Not that they can understand the Torah at one level, but in a particular tract of learning Torah, whether it be of the Talmud, of the scripture, the oral Torah tradition, including halacha and the inner dimension of Torah, that they can take out from what they've learned in those particular tracts and bring it to another subject matter. And this is the idea of someone who can understand one thing from within another. So you might think that since we're talking about this whole idea of being basically a master of how to extract additional understanding from one's previous initial simple perception of a concept, you would call him or he or she a chacham or chachama, which is basically he or she is a master of bringing innovative new insights from their cognitive, meditative, analytical Torah study. And that's what Rav Hillel wants us to know, that this person who is called a novon, a person of understanding, you would first think to call him or she, is a wise person. Going back to the Mittler Rebbe's elucidation on this matter, that this is possible, that a person can reach this very high level of Limud Torah, of learning Torah. And we might want to add as well, a true Navon is someone who not only can learn Torah on a very high level, as we've been discussing, through their cognitive, meditative, contemplative efforts on the human experience level, soul and body, here on this blessed earth, is derived from the fact, from the source of this power within this person's experience of understanding that they can extract out of their sense of profound perception, that they can actually go deep into the depth of wisdom. And the depth of wisdom, when we talk about depth, we're talking about an intermediary type of realm. We've talked about it before. If you look at, say, if you're in a room right now, wherever you may be, and you look at a corner wall that is opposite your left shoulder, and you see a right side of the wall and the left side of the wall, that depth of that wall is that part that connects right and left wall. But yet, if you were to separate the right and left wall at its very point of intersection, and remove both sides, so there is no semblance of right wall, there's no semblance of left wall in relation to your left shoulder as you look at it, you would just see empty space. But that empty space means that doesn't mean that there's nothing there. I mean, there's the capacity of self-nullification, self-negation, that very space to allow a right wall to join at that intersection with the left side, the left wall. So too, within your perception of wisdom within your soul, and as it manifests in your perceptions within your right brain processing, a person can understand, he or she, a totally different type of wisdom within this type of wisdom as well. So yes, he or she is extracting out elucidations from the depth of their wisdom. But ultimately, what they're going to do is they're saying, you're schlepping out a new type of perception of wisdom that is higher than the normal title of someone we would call a chacham or a chachama, which is basically someone who can bring out nuances of perception, but only on one subject matter. So a person is a PhD in algebra. That doesn't mean he's a PhD, or he earned his PhD in algebra. That doesn't mean that he or she would be that same level of competence at the PhD level in, say, linguistics or physics. No, they have their PhD in that specific area where they wrote their paper and passed and they got their degree. And therefore, they are called a wise person in that area. So a wise person is someone who is so well advanced in his or her perception of a concept, they can bring out new novel ideas about that concept, but they cannot jump, say, into another field. So again, a PhD in math, I'll just say in a more general sense, is not necessarily at the PhD level in linguistics. Now, we're going to do something like that since we're talking about profundity. I'd like to end off today's program with something which is quite profound, the fact that, unfortunately, to our great pain here in New York City, there are people who are not getting enough nutrition. And there are places of refuge. And I got a list here from a map called Smart Streets, New York City, a map of free meals in Manhattan. Now, I know most of my listeners around the world, or in fact around the world, but for those who are listening in New York City, I'm trying with every program, without a doubt, to promote where people can go for free food. In particular, we're talking about a category where for people 60 and older. So one place an elderly person can go Monday through Friday, 12 to 1 p.m. for lunch for $1.50, and for breakfast Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. for $1. So you can get a $1 breakfast at the ARC 16 Inwood Senior Center, located at 84 Vermilia Avenue, which you would take an A train to Dyckman Street, and that would be in New York City. This is in the Washington Heights / Inwood area. And again, from lunch, from Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. for $1.50, you can get a free lunch. If you're 60 and older, and I want to mention too, most of these places to get free meals are not kosher, so this is a caveat to those of you who are listening in. If you yourself, and I hope you don't, but if you yourself need to eat and eat at a low cost, something which hopefully is nutritious and will fill your gut, here in New York City, you can go to the ARC 16 Inwood Senior Center, located at 84 Vermilia Avenue. You take the A train to Dyckman Street. It's also close to 24th Street in Upper Manhattan. So at this point, we're going to end the show. So that's sort of like ending the show with an act of kindness to spread the idea that there are places in New York City, and hopefully I might eventually, I'm going to do a little more research into a place, into an organization called City Harvest, which rescues food and distributes it all over the five boroughs. You can see their trucks from time to time here in New York City riding on delivering free food, and they have a website as well, City Harvest. But before, I want to do a little more research on them. But we want to end the show off on that note, being good. You've got to be good. Because the Tevatov Lehiti, it's the nature to do good, and since the Creator is the source of all goodness, put you in this world, you're able to accomplish this goodness. So we're going to end off the show with some goodness, the goodness of the human voice, which is substituting for any musical instrumentation, the way of Yosef Kaduner. In Shir Malos, Tehillim, Psalms 121, I'll read the eight terse verses, which are packed with spiritual prophetic energy for the past, present, and the future, the eternal future under the rulership of the Most High Creator. A song for ascents, I shall raise my eyes to the mountains, from where will my help come? My help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter, your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the garden of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian, the Lord is your shadow, he is by your right hand. By day the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil, he will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from now to eternity. And may this all transparent way of Ahavachad, one love, Gorlachad, one destiny, Kolanu for all of us. Badachin Amdaki Shalom, in a peaceful and pleasant way. Hamshich Bez Hashem Yisbrek, to continue with the help of the Most High. Take care, everyone. Ir la ma'alot Esa einai el harim Me'ayin yavo ezri Ezri me'im ha'ashem Ose shabayim va'aret Al yiten lamot ragleha Al yanum shomrecha הנה לא ינום, ינום, ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומרך, השם צילך,
על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלה, אשא עיניי אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי, עזרי מעם השם, עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומריך, השם תפילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומרך, השם תפילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם.